Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles, get your notebooks, get your pens. Today I want to talk to you about the importance, the power of vision. Over the next 20 minutes or so, I'm wanting us to really delve into the Word of the Lord, and especially from the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, Niall has already done wonders in terms of laying the foundation from where we will take things from this morning. But I want to remind you that when God had called Jeremiah, He asked him this particular question. He said to him, "What do you see?" Now, if I were to ask you the very same question today, what do you see? What is it then that you would refer to? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see about your future? How do you see your life unfolding? How do you see the future of your business, the future of your ministry? How do you see it unfold? The sad reality is that there's many people who do not even know that they should be seeing. What do you see? But in saying that, I also have to stress the importance of then the difference between vision and sight. There is a substantial difference. Sight is simply seeing through your eyes, whereas vision is seeing what God has already released into your spirit. Again, I say to you that seeing, sight is seeing through your eyes. So what it is that you gaze upon registers in your brain, and you perceive that which is in front of you in the natural. Vision is seeing what God has already placed, released into your spirit. That's vision. Vision then requires faith, but sight does not. Sight does not require faith because you already see it. Vision requires faith. In John 20, verse 29, Jesus told Thomas that you believe because you have seen me. But blessed are those who believe and do not yet see. It's easy to believe something once you've seen it. And even then, we talk about the vision of this ministry. Where more than 20 years ago, Pastor Andre Rabert stood up and said, "I have a dream and I have a vision from God." And how sad it is that many times when you share a vision, it's as though you invoke a response from every naysayer around. Because there will always be those who will come against a vision of a man and a woman of God. The moment you say, "I'm going to do something," then all of a sudden, you're attacked, mocked, ridiculed, slandered. And one of the reasons is because people just do not like it when you cannot fit into a particular mold. This is why pioneers are misunderstood. I pray even today that there would be a pioneering spirit to come upon you. Because we truly need pioneers in this nation of South Africa. If there's ever been a moment in time, we need people, leaders, who will say that I have a dream and I have a vision for this nation. For many of you, you're outside of the nation of South Africa. Have a dream. Have a vision for your nation. Then in 2 Corinthians 5:7, to make the point of vision versus sight, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In other words, then seeing is not believing. We believe, and because we believe, we pursue those things that are not as though they are. And then it is just a matter of time before it is made manifest and it is revealed to the senses. Again, I ask you, what do you see? The world defines vision as the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. But my definition of divine vision is looking towards the future then through the eyes of faith. Looking towards the future through the eyes of faith. What do you see? What do you see about your life? What do you see about your family? What do you see about your children? Where do you see your life going? What do you see? And then once you see it in the Spirit, do you believe that it can be made manifest? Do you believe it can be made to be your reality? See, ultimately, there are three kinds of people. There are those who make things happen. There are those who watch things happen. And then, unfortunately, there's the third category of human beings who simply after the fact say, "What just happened?" I do not know about you, but I would prefer to be that first group or belonging to that first group who make things happen. How many of you are with me? How many of you say, "I'm wanting to make things happen"? Come on, I'm really asking you that you would really, really, really decide whether today you believe it or not. That you will not just watch things happen. You will certainly not ask after the fact what has just happened. But that you will be of those, the remnant of God, those who are fully persuaded. And that you will make things happen in Jesus' name. Proverbs 28 verse 19 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. And this is why people many times, oh so often, fall into a place of depression. Quite often, one of the attributing causes of that is just because of a lack of purpose, a lack of vision. Proverbs 29:18 clearly says that where there is no vision, people perish, people die. Because of a lack of purpose. Ultimately, because of a lack of vision. They cannot see the future. In other words, there's no hope for the future. I want to challenge every single one of you that if you do not yet have a vision, a clear-cut vision for your life, for your family, even for your business, or even for your ministry, this is the moment in time that you prepare. Time is for preparation and season for manifestation. Take this time, this moment in time to prepare. Time spent in the area of preparation is never wasted time when you truly are busy increasing your capacity and growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There's nothing wrong with that. But even then, if you have a vision of your own, it is still important that you connect or that you then partner with a vision that is greater than yours. It is our vision as a ministry to see you and your family enter into the fullness of God's covenant promises and prosperity. If you've ever come to this facility, and those of you who are right here in the auditorium, you came into this auditorium passing by large vision boards. On the one board, you can read the vision, and then on the other, you can read the dreams of the ministry. More than 20 years ago, those dreams that are written down, it were merely dreams. Dreams. Nothing concrete to put your hand on. Nothing tangible to really look at the time. That dream, the dreams that you read that are on those on that particular board, even predates this building. And yet it is in the dreams that we will have auditoriums seating thousands. Back then, there were those who ridiculed, mocked, slandered, said everything they wanted to say. And yet there's no denying that we today are living, finding ourselves within that vision. Take a look around. For those of you who have never been here before, we're looking forward to very soon being able to host you. The Faith Dome is nearing completion. Exciting things are about to happen. And every time people enter into the brand new Faith Dome, our brand new facility that the Lord has provided for us in so many incredible ways, Every time people walk in, it's as though even that dream and that vision people have given up on, that it's reignited in that instant. Because the Faith Dome serves as a living testimony of the goodness of God, of the favor of God, that he is Jehovah Jireh, that he is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. So quickly, I want us to delve into this, the practical side of vision. How do I get a vision? In Habakkuk 2 verse 1, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. That first part speaks of I will. Vision begins with having a desire for bigger and better. The desire for something greater, something far greater and bigger than yourself. People who lack vision are those who are satisfied with where they are right here and right now. They are satisfied with the status quo. So in other words, it starts with you making a decision, a conscious decision. I will. That's where it starts. Making that decision that I will see this through. I will start this and see it come to pass. Number two is I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Vision requires a time of preparation, a time of watching, as I was speaking of a little bit earlier. Interestingly enough, the word tower refers to a secret place, a quiet place. This is why it's important that before you give birth to that vision, before the vision begins to unfold, make sure that you've spent time with God in the secret place, in the quiet place, in that tower, in the place of meeting. Number three, what he will say. True vision about your life, your business, your ministry, even your marriage comes from what God has to say. True vision does not originate from merely a good idea. True vision, divine vision, doesn't just come from having a conversation with someone and just being inspired and now setting out to do pretty much what your friend or that person you spoke to is doing. That's not vision. That's just a copy of someone else's vision. True vision needs to be birthed then from that secret place with God. You making the decision then to say, I will do it and I will do what he has said. Number four, what he will say unto me. Isn't it interesting that in the Hebrew version of Habakkuk chapter 2, the word that is translated into English unto is actually not unto. So in other words, it's not to you. He does not just say it to you. It actually speaks of, he said, he speaks into me. The reason why this is important is that because God speaks vision, he declares vision, he releases vision in your spirit. It is something that takes place within you. It is not something that is simply placed upon you. In other words, you become a carrier of that vision. And this is why I make this statement, that the moment you partner with this ministry, those of you who are here, you are not just congregants. We do not just congregate, but you are a partner. You are a part of this vision. You have decided, you have made the conscious decision that I will partner with this ministry. And it is then that the grace that is upon this ministry also comes upon you and your family and whatsoever you touch. Second of all, the practical side is then how do you fulfill the vision? In Habakkuk 2 verse 2 to 4, it says, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Five things quickly. It's number one, write the vision. A vision not written down is not a vision. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, when John is caught up into heaven, he is instructed to write the things which thou hast seen. In other words, again, if I were to use this now as a, call it a case study, it's about being caught up in the presence of God. One-on-one time with you and God. That is the birthplace of vision. God opens your eyes to see into the spiritual realm. Again, asking Jeremiah, what do you see? He asks you in the spirit, what do you see? Then what is it that you see in the spirit? You see, so often, people want to launch out and pursue a vision, a dream, a desire of their heart. But instead of consulting the Lord and pressing into that which is already available in the spirit, they look at the natural. They look at the natural bank balance. They look at the current situation of the bank account. And then they fail to see in the spirit the riches in glory. And so Jesus instructs John in heaven to write down that which he sees. Number two is make it plain upon tablets. In other words, it should be easy to break down, to read, to remember, and also to implement. Write it down. Make it plain. This is why we have these large vision boards, so that he may run. He may run. Niall spoke about this earlier, running with the vision. To run is a verb. Running is a verb. It speaks of action. You see, it's of no use if you just have a beautiful, articulated vision written down, presented on the fanciest billboards. But if there's no action, it will never come to pass. You see, it's not about just writing down a vision that sounds good. It's having the faith to pursue it. For only then, when faith is put into action, will it come to pass. Only when faith is put into action will you be able to see God do the impossible. You just do the possible, and God, who specializes in the impossible, will make it happen. That he reads it, that's the latter part of that verse. You see, what you constantly see and what you habitually say will eventually then come to pass. Then number five is wait for the appointed time of fulfillment. There is a period then from the time of conception or the inception of the vision to the birth and ultimately the completion of the vision. Though it tarry, though it might take some time, do not get anxious. Do not get nervous. Do not try and do things out of your own power. Though it tarry, it will surely come to pass. Which is why at the bottom of the dreams and the visions that we have in the ministry, we say at the end of the dreams that we confidently declare that these dreams will become a reality. Why? Because they are inspired by God. Father, I pray over every single person listening to the sound of my voice right now, that we will take heed to your word, to your instruction, that we will find you in the secret place, that you will download such depth of revelation and vision in our spirit. That we will see through the eyes of faith. That we will have the faith to put that vision into action. That we will see it come to pass. That though it tarry, it surely will come to pass. Again, Lord, we thank you for every partner of this ministry. Those who have made the conscious decision to belong to something bigger than themselves. We thank you for our partners. We again speak your blessing upon them. That you and your family, you and your business, you and the ministry will prosper and see his hand of provision every single moment of every single day. In Jesus' name.